That just energizes me every day, knowing that millions of you are here with me, sharing this wonderful republic, the greatest nation that the world has ever known, that the planet has ever seen. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Patriotically Correct Radio is on. My name is Stu Peters. Welcome to the program. A packed show today, by the way. Gavin Wax will be here. He is the president of the New York Young Republican Club. He's also a very well-articulated young man. He's been all over the Fox News channel. Yeah, I know, folks. It's fake news. But you know what? To his attribute and to his credit, he's been all over the place. He's a published writer. We'll talk more with Gavin Wax coming up right after this segment here. Also, Vicky Manning will be here today. Vicky Manning is on a school board in Virginia Beach, Virginia. And, you know, it's racist if you want your kids to go back to school. If you desire in-person learning for your youngsters, you should look yourself in the mirror right now and just tell yourself, just admit it, just free yourself from the bonds of what you already know and just tell yourself, I am a racist. I'm not helpable. I need to admit it. I need to repent because I am racist. Also, Lieutenant Randy Sutton from the Las Vegas Metro Police Department, he's retired there, but he was the highest decorated officer in the history of that department. He's got all kinds of experience, and he's going to be here to weigh in on George Floyd and what's going on there, as well as some extremely shocking footage from a doorbell camera of an officer who was, we're talking point-blank range on a welfare check. She was shot at, and you're going to find out exactly how that ended. But everything starts with our finances, which is why we start every day with our financial in-house expert and the title sponsor of this show, Carlos Cortez, Cortez Wealth Management. Welcome back to Patriotically Correct Radio on this Thursday afternoon. Sir, how are you?
Stu, I'm glad to be here. Thank you so much for having me again.
The market is up. You can't get a steak. You have to wait an hour and a half to get into places. Consumer spending is going through the roof. People are becoming confident. The vaccine is out there. What do you make of all this?
I tell you what, I mean, it's an exciting time. It's an exciting time to literally just kind of laugh at everything, because we know a lot of this stuff is just being pumped up and pumped up and pumped up. But our listeners need to be smart. They need to be really, really diligent and not get caught in the greed game, because I know from personal experience, the market will continue to rise and rise and rise. And we're trying to market time this bad boy. But what always typically happens is a major pump and dump. And that's going to be inflation. Once inflation comes through, we're going to start to see some serious volatility. And I've been saying this day in and day out, you have to de-risk your portfolio. You have to have principal protection in your accounts and get ready, because what goes up must come down.
You know, anywhere that you go, you can find quote unquote financial advice, right? I mean, I go to the corner store down here. I pick up a newspaper. There's all kinds of columnists and people that call themselves experts. These people, all folks, they work for the same people. You have to understand, why can Wall Street manipulate the market, inflate it, to make it appear as though it's doing so well to prop up this president? Because the same people that back the gangsters on Wall Street are the billionaires that pay for the media to project this false narrative. Everything that you're hearing, from the masking to the lockdowns to the shutdowns to the business closures, staying out of school, how many masks you need to wear, systemic racism in law enforcement, the January 6th insurrection, the officer that was supposedly beaten with a bludgeon to death with a fire extinguisher, the story that never happened, that they never will come out and admit was a complete lie manufactured by the New York Times, who then had to reverse that article, but not out in the open. They won't come out and tell you that they were wrong. They just move on to the next thing. I'm telling you, the same people, the same billionaires that invest in these Canadian-backed banks, these CCP, China-owned backed conglomerate investment firms, all these franchises that you see all over the place, the ones that you see advertised all over the national major broadcast networks, the ones that you see paying for millions of dollars worth of billboards all over the country, these people are all backed and owned by the same people. They're controlled, they're puppets, just like the president in the White House.
Very well said. A lot better said than when you say it.
Well, I mean, I'm pissed off about it. I'm just so upset about the fact that everything that we see is fake. And then what upsets me the most, and here I go, what upsets me the most, Carlos, is when I go out here in public and I see fellow Americans. I mean, these are brothers and sisters, right? I've never even met them, but they're brothers and sisters. We are all Americans. I see you all as brothers and sisters. I care about you so much. And I'm asking you to put on your thinking cap All right, in the words of racist Dr. Seuss, put on your thinking cap, folks. Ignore what you are seeing in the mainstream media. It is bought and paid for. All of it is fake. The pundits, the scientists, the numbers, the statistics. It's all phony. It's all fake. Well, I said all that. I went around the block to go across the street here. And I said all that to say that the reason why Carlos Cortez is on this program and we broadcast live from the Cortez Wealth Management Studios every day is because he is not any of those things. You're an independent fiduciary. You're a God-fearing man. You're a husband. You're a father. You're a Christian American. You're an America First patriot. You have the America First retirement plan. And you care about my brothers and sisters that are out here.
Absolutely, 100%. I got my fiduciary license a long time ago before the last pandemic of 2008. And we won't even discuss that one. And a lot of the current advisors that I'm literally seeing, they literally got their licenses a year or two ago. That's because they were mandated to. Just a little tip for our listeners, do not speak to anybody in regards to their retirement if they're not a fiduciary. It's pretty much illegal to give advice, a client advice, without that particular license.
Yeah.
So be very, very cautious with that to our listeners.
But they'll do it anyways. They'll give you the advice. Yeah. They'll take your money. They'll run with it and then report them.
Yeah.
They've got big billionaires that'll defend them in any lawsuit against you. And you're just poor little Stu, just trying to get by, just trying to plan your financial future, just trying to leave something for your kids, just trying to plan for an education for your kids. Maybe you have three of them like I do and you want to send them to college if they so choose. If they want to go, then it's your responsibility to be able to provide for your children in the best way that you possibly can. And you know what? If that means going to college, then you better be financially prepared for that. What if your daughter wants to get married? I mean, we're talking $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, depending on, you know, how many people you want to invite, what the venue is going to be, where it's, you know, how, I mean, whether it's going to be a destination wedding. What about you personally, when you're empty nesters and you and the wife or you and the husband decide that you want to settle down a little bit? Maybe you don't want to spend your entire winter in the snowbanks and frozen tundra of the Communist People's Republic of Minnesota. Maybe you would like to go to Florida for the winter. Maybe you want your little condo down there. Well, then you better start setting yourself up, because you know what? Tomorrow is going to come like that. And when it gets here and you're not planned properly, you haven't properly planned, you're going to be in a world of hurt. You're going to be in big trouble, especially if you haven't contacted a fiduciary that actually really cares about you, which is why you need to call Carlos Cortez. So this was a big infomercial. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to take it there. We wanted some financial advice of the day. And then here I go filibustering and bogarting again on this damn radio program. I do it all the time. Sorry.
It's okay. Look, I'm here to give advice. You can go on my website. You can call us. We're very passionate about what we do. We have founded a great planning strategy called the America First Retirement Plan. We will be rolling out some neat features, a website, some brochures where clients can put in their information and how we can literally help them make sure their investments are American First friendly. They're not Chinese backed up.
Yeah.
First and foremost, they're not taking too much risk. Right now, we shouldn't be literally having everything in the stock market right now. It's too volatile. The market keeps going up and up, and people are getting greedy again. And this is when they get smacked very hard. You know, it's tough. It's tough.
Don't get smacked.
If you double your money.
Don't get smacked.
If you double your money. Yeah. If you double your money, it's not really going to do anything. But if you lose half of your money, that would change your life.
That's right. Carlos Cortez, Cortez Wealth Management. Visit him online, CortezWM.com, for your America First Retirement Plan, or give him a call, 813-448-3446. That's 813-448-3446. Patriotically Correct Radio starts right now. We have Gavin Wax coming up right here as the powerful conversation begins right here on Patriotically Correct Radio. My name is Stu.
Broadcasting live from the highest cloud of privileged patriotism, the PC Radio Show is on Mojo 50 Radio.
Welcome back to all of you. 2.6 million join us. Boy, is that humbling. Live weekdays, 6 p.m. Eastern on iHeartRadio. Just search the station Mojo 50. If you didn't know, now you know. Also, if you don't have time to listen live, no problem. Don't sweat it. Don't trip. Don't be sad, because you can catch us wherever you find your favorite podcast, as well as the exploding YouTube and Rumble channels. Don't forget, I'm still hanging out and truthing on Twitter. I don't know how I'm still allowed to be there. as well as in Telegram and on Parler. He is a New York-based conservative commentator and columnist, an associate fellow at the London Center for Policy Research, a writing fellow for America's Future Foundation, and the 73rd president of the New York Young Republican Club. Gavin Wax joins us right now. Gavin, thanks a lot for being here. A first-timer on Patriotically Correct Radio. We appreciate having you.
No, Stu, thank you for having me. It's an honor.
You recently wrote an article published at amgreatness.com. It was titled, quote, "The 800-pound gorilla in Trump's inner circle." And this is something that we've been talking about, Gavin, on this program lately. But from your perspective, can you tell the listeners why you think it's time for the Republican Party to move on and find a worthy successor for the MAGA revolution that Trump started?
Well, look, I think Trump has a lot of things going for him that still make him a top contender going into 2024. He has the charisma. He has the force of personality. He has the loyal following, and he has a great instinct. But the problem has been personnel. And the second term, what would have been his second term, would have been great for the Trump movement because he was slowly improving in terms of how he maneuvered in D.C., how he staffed his administration, and how he brought on more ideologically committed individuals into his administration. The problem is we obviously didn't have the second term, but a lot of the blame for that has been rightly pointed at the electoral fraud and all the shenanigans that went on in the various states. And that's very much true. But we cannot look past the 800, 10,000 pound, whatever weight you want to use, gorilla in the room, which has been personnel embodied by people like Jared Kushner, which is what my article was really centered on. I think he, of all the individuals you can possibly enumerate, was the biggest issue in the administration, holding it back, shifting it off its message, off its original mandate, and eventually seeding the path for its ultimate downfall.
You know, we've talked about Jared Kushner before on this program, specifically as it related to Parler most recently, because everybody was hoping that Trump was going to go over to Parler after his Twitter ban. Jared Kushner was the reason why Trump apparently didn't do business with Parler. Do you think that this is something intentional on Jared Kushner's part, Ivanka's part? Are they just trying to push the DJT legacy off the rails?
I think it's part just general incompetence. I mean, this is an individual who, you know, had Manhattan, who bought Manhattan real estate at the top of a bubble. I don't think he's as intelligent as he thinks he is. But I also think there's some insidious elements to it. I think they definitely want to return to their life pre-President Trump, which was, you know, the cosmopolitan, elitist, liberal lifestyle, the cocktail parties, the dinner parties, all the socializing. They were basically made outcasts from that world. So I think it's part incompetence, and I think it's part hoping that Trump would sort of just disappear and stay away from politics so they can return to their comfy lives as respectable members of America's upper class.
So where do we go from here? If it is going to be that Trump doesn't learn from these crucial mistakes, if he comes back in 2024, he hasn't changed any of these, you know, personnel type key positions closest to him. I refer to him as the snakes. I mean, I really think that these people that are closest to him have guarded him from some of the most advantageous information that he should have, which is why we're seeing a lot of these sketchy endorsements coming out right now. And, you know, you really can't trust a lot of the things that are coming out of the Trump camp, not because of him himself. I still will say that I believe that he's the best president of my lifetime, because promises made, promises kept. And he did a lot of really great things. Single-handedly, the most important things that he did were both inside and outside of policy, in my opinion, just in his influence and the great revelation, if you will. But the people that are around him really hurt him. So if that's the case returning in 2024, you're saying in your article that you think it's time that we move past this, find a new successor. Any ideas?
Look, I like Ron DeSantis. I think the problem is that it's hard to find a candidate that has all the qualities we need all at once. It just doesn't exist. It's like looking for an apartment here in New York City. I mean, you're going to like the living room, but then the bedroom is like in the bathroom. I mean, there's always an issue, it seems. But I like someone like DeSantis. He has the legislative experience, the executive experience. I think his foreign policy needs some work. It's a bit neocon. I don't think he's as articulate as Trump, but he's certainly a fighter. He's certainly more effective as an administrator. There's a lot of, I mean, even like a Tucker, you could talk about, you know, from an ideological standpoint. But again, a lot of these candidates, I think we're never going to really know how they hold up against Trump and his legacy and his accomplishments until they'd actually be in the White House. Because obviously Trump on the campaign trail in 2016 was as close to perfect as it could come in my book. But then obviously governing was a little different. And then I wanted to touch on what you said earlier. I mean, there has been a lot of, you know, kind of bipolarism in his post-presidency former office of the president with these endorsements. First, he comes out swinging against the RNC, then he balks away from that within a day or so. He says he's going to go after the RINOs and all these people who went after him in terms of impeachment, but then he's endorsing some real milquetoast backbencher, not America First GOP candidate. So it's kind of all over the place. And I think this, again, really comes down to personnel, even post-presidency. He has a lot of people in his circle who are acting like gatekeepers, who are not getting information to him and who are manipulating him and pulling the strings for their own personal agenda. And even though he has the best instincts, even though he's good on his gut, it's just being destroyed by those around him. And that's not going to change anytime soon, it appears. And it seems like he hasn't learned his lesson. That's why I'm worried about a potential second term starting in 2024.
Specifically down in Arkansas, for example, you have Jan Morgan. She was the national spokesperson, Citizens for Trump. She's a pro 2A. She's an America First. Just recently announced her candidacy for a U.S. Senate run. Trump turns around and he endorses her opponent, who still has a Facebook post up blaming him for the January 6th insurrection. I mean, this is just, it's mind-boggling. I think semi-bipolar was a really great way to illustrate that. What about in New York? You have somebody like Maliotakis here, who's kind of bailing on the whole America First movement as well. Do you think that the America First young candidates and people who are already in, who have adopted this America First mentality and want to take the ball and run with it, can push these RINOs out, these Liz Cheneys and the others around, you know, Ronna McDaniel would be another great example. Do you think that they have the muscle to push them out?
Well, we need to have organizational frameworks. The left is great with things like the DSA and these other organizations because they channel their grassroots sort of leftist energy into winning primaries, into taking over party structures and apparatus. And that was always the issue with the Tea Party. It got misdirected. It turned into a giant grift. I think we have a lot of grifting on the right. There's a lot of hacks and consultants who take money away from the grassroots and misdirect it. But I do think we're going to have some good midterms, good primaries going into 2022. I think people like Liz Cheney are done. I think a lot of the big names that we know, Kinzinger, are all gone. There's going to be a lot of people who fall through the cracks. There's a lot of people who hold up this mantle of America First when they're anything but. You mentioned Nicole Maliotakis. I would put her into that camp. I don't think she really is aligned with the president. I think she just says the things she needs to say to get elected in a very pro-Trump district. I think she's going to get redistricted out because New York's going to lose 1 to 2 seats. But this also goes back again. I don't want to circle back like Jen Psaki says, but goes back to what you said earlier about Parler. I think the Kushners of the world and all these other bad influences on Trump want to keep him off these alternative media sites, because a lot of times he was reading Twitter, he was reading these threads, he was reading certain conservative commentators and influencers, and it was an additional source of information to him beyond his gatekeepers. So if he's off Parler and he's off Gab and he's off all these other alt-tech sites, his information stream is much more limited, and he won't know about the situation you just outlined in Arkansas or whoever else it may be. So I think that's also part of the equation.
It wouldn't surprise me if some of those closest to him are actually enriching themselves off of the sale of some of these endorsements. You never know.
Yeah. Where can people win red, it looks like that, yeah.
Where can people find you, Gavin?
Well, they can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Gavin Wax, GAVINWAX. And you can follow the club, the New York Young Republican Club, oldest and largest in the nation, at NYYRC. And that's www.nyyrc.com.
The president of the New York Young Republican Club and a lot of other accolades in your resume. Gavin Wax, appreciate you being here, and we hope to have you back again sometime soon. Hang out. I want to talk to you off the air for just a quick second about what's going on in New York. More powerful conversation continues as we speak with that woman, Jan Morgan, about that announcement and her candidacy. Coming up next on PC Radio. Stick around. My name is Stu Peters. Go nowhere. We'll be back in 60 seconds.
Twitter blew up.
More offensive than a presidential tweet.
Russia, China, Japan, Mexico, all countries will respect us far more, than they do under past administrations.
TC Radio with Stu and Rich. Mojo 5-0 Radio.
Welcoming back the a very humbling 2.6 million of you that tune into this program, this low-budget afternoon debacle, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern. Mojo 5-0 is the station. You can find us broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. If you're not available at that time, don't fret, don't frown, don't be sad, don't trip. You can find us on the exploding YouTube and Rumble channels. The truth always lives at redvoicemedia.com. In the news, obviously, Minneapolis, the Derek Chauvin trial in the, quote, murder case, heavy air quotes there, of George Floyd, the career criminal, violent, home-invading thug who overdosed on what the medical examiner is calling lethal amounts of fentanyl and meth. But never mind that, because the police aren't something that we respect anymore. Lawlessness all over the country. Here to talk with us more about that is Randy Sutton, one of the most highly decorated officers in the history of the Las Vegas Metro PD and founder of thewoundedblue.org. Randy, welcome to Patriotically Correct. Thanks for coming back.
It is always a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Of course. All over the place, news of officers involved with shootings, assaults, just the lawlessness all over the place as the feds hunt down, quote, insurrectionists from a peaceful and patriotic, what looked like a guided tour on the 6th. The police are being used as the muscle, the Nazi-like brown shirts enforcing these ridiculous overreaching mask mandates, business closures, lockdowns, shutdowns, gathering sizes. And the criminals have been emboldened, Randy, in this new climate of law enforcement. What's going on today?
Well, there's so much we could talk about. I want to highlight a couple things that have been recently been in the news and some that have not made the news because, of course, we can't show law enforcement in a positive light. So one of the things that's been put out by leftist politicians, mayors, governors, et cetera, has been this defund the police or reimagine policing and all of this utopian nonsense where they don't want the police responding on certain calls. And one of them are called check the welfare calls. And this is a very common call that law enforcement gets because the relative hasn't heard from another relative in a long time, or there's somebody who's concerned about the welfare of a friend or relative, and they ask the police. Very often these calls come from out of town, and the police go and they knock on the door and they check and see if everybody's okay. Now, having spent 34 years as a cop myself, I know the volatility that can often be associated with calls like this, and not only that, but very often the person who's making this call, they're right, because there's been uncountable numbers of times where I found the subject who we were checking the welfare, found him dead in the house or seriously injured or having had a medical problem, and we get there in time to save their life. So, but the other part of this is you never know what you're walking into. Now, we have a really scary videotape that came from a call just like this, like a check the welfare call. It was in Warren County, Ohio. And, as we think about how the political left wants to change the landscape of policing and send social workers or mental health workers to answer calls that are traditionally handled by police, this is one of those calls that they are calling for a different response, not the police. Watch how on this video, which is from the doorbell cam of the house, watch how this law enforcement deputy, this officer who is answering a check the welfare call, see how fast this turns into a dangerous, highly dangerous situation.
What do you say? 482, she'll give you the garage code if she wants us to check on him. Here it comes. Here he is,
Show us your hands! Show us your hands! Show us your hands! Show us your hands!
Guns by the front door.
Show us your hands!
Unbelievable, Randy. It literally gives you chills to watch that and think, I mean, look at how fast. I mean, the door opens, you see the gun come out. I don't know how that officer is still alive.
Really?
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. So think about this. That for those of you who are watching this show, think about what would have happened if that had been an unarmed mental health worker who knocked on that door. Then the police are going to get called anyway because it's going to be a murder. So, you know, when you think about the irrationality of politicians in cities like Ithaca, New York, and Minneapolis and other places where the political left that manages these cities, this is what they're demanding. They're demanding that police don't be police.
Yeah. In Ithaca, they're talking about firing every single cop there, making them reapply for these, quote, unarmed liaison type health and safety officer positions. If I were a parent and I was sending my kid to college in Ithaca, there are two really prestigious colleges there, and I'm paying hundreds of thousands of dollars for an education for my daughter to go to this school, and I know that there's no police there to keep her safe. And these are the types of people that are running around amongst us. This person, obviously mentally unstable, high on some mood-altering substances, maybe drunk, who knows, or just evil and murderous. These people are out there. They exist. You watch on television all of these home invasions, or there's a new show out there that I Survived a Crime, or I Nearly Died, or whatever it was called. And you watch, I mean, these people are laying in bed. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. Bang, the door flies open. Next thing you know, you got three or four armed assailants inside of your home. This is happening to people who don't have the ability to protect themselves. Look at what happens even when a group of armed officers who are well-trained, this is a situation that they find themselves in. Obviously, I mean, great response here. A lot of luck and a lot of God involved with this situation. But these highly trained officers narrowly escaped injury and death. And these are the people that are trained and have the ability and the tools on their belt to defend themselves and to protect you and I.
And that deputy's reaction time was incredible. And she's a warrior. And when I want to talk about the warrior spirit for just a minute, because you just saw it play out right in front of your eyes. That is the warrior spirit. And that's been denigrated by many on the left and by politicians and chiefs of police who have been drinking the Kool-Aid. They don't want the word warrior inserted anywhere in the law enforcement world. But the reality is this. If you don't have the warrior spirit, that officer defended herself quickly, efficiently, using her skill, and that warrior spirit was very much in evidence by her reaction and by the way that she engaged that suspect. The warrior spirit is something to be celebrated, not denigrated.
Yeah. In Minneapolis specifically, he's retired now, but Lieutenant Bob Kroll, the president of the Minneapolis Police Federation, was sponsoring a warrior type training that was going on. And when the police chief who drank the Kool-Aid, first it was Janae Harteau, one of the worst police chiefs ever. And then became Madaria Arredondo, who is a puppet for the radical left mayor there, Jacob Fry. And so Kroll actually said he was going to make it voluntary. It's not a mandatory police training, but it's voluntary. He was going to host it. And so that officers that wanted to have this warrior type training, that understand the real threat that they're dealing with on a daily basis, who have some common sense and understand what it is. I think there's just too many people, Randy, who live inside of this bubble. They live inside of this utopian type weird avocado toast coffee, skinny coffee brew, tea with your pinky out drinking bubble that don't understand that the bubble is only created by the fact that there are men and women who don't even know you willing to run directly at gunfire or put themselves in harm's way, knowing that imminent great bodily harm or death is present. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter if you have a penis or a vagina or want to in these days. It doesn't matter if you are a liberal Democrat or a conservative, God-fearing Republican. It doesn't matter how your religious ideology lines up. They don't know you, and they're willing to selflessly run directly towards gunfire to save you. And that respect and that acknowledgement has completely disappeared because of the hijacking of our entire political system by these socialist, communist, radical terrorists.
You're not going to get an argument from me. In fact, let's talk about that for just a moment in our next story. You have a photograph.
I do.
Of a memorial, a gravestone. And I'm going to share this. I just got this information yesterday, and it makes me sick to hear this. I'm going to read the Facebook post from the brother of a fallen police officer.
Go for it.
That accompanied this photograph that you're seeing.
Yep.
This is my brother's Jimmy's memorial in the town of Lexington, Massachusetts. My brother Jimmy was killed in his cruiser and found in a gully off of Route 2 in Lexington. I put that decoration on the memorial during Christmas season from our family. I put that thin blue line flag on the decorations as a sign of respect and unity of all police families. Well, cancel culture has hit Lexington Town Hall. Someone complained to the town manager. In turn, the town manager had the chief take it down. The flag was replaced with an American flag, which was a nice gesture, but it's not the thin blue line flag. I guess this is one way I can protest what the town of Lexington pulled on our family and all families of deceased police officers and police officers in general throughout the country. Jimmy, we'll never forget, and I'll defend you until my last breath. Jimmy was only 23 years old at the time of his death, and he deserves better. This made my blood boil, Stu. I am going to be contacting the Lexington, Massachusetts chief of police and invite him courteously to be on my show, Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement, and see if he wants to explain to the American people why he acquiesced to the town manager and did such a despicable thing.
Because he's spineless. I can answer that question. I'm sure that you'll get a decline to appear on your program.
I'm sure you're right.
And as we get, because they're cowards. And that's why, because they bow to the loudest bullhorn. Somewhere along the way, these police command staffs, these appointed representatives of law enforcement forget what they dealt with when they were on the street. And a lot of them were never on the street. They were maybe fleet lieutenants. Maybe they were in charge of keeping the and a lot of these promoted cops are cops that didn't make it amongst the rank and file. You, I'm sure, know that. They were disliked. They were ineffective. And so the way to handle that is, well, we just promote them. And then they make their political way up through these ranks. The next thing you know, they're the appointed chief of a police department like this. And this is the result of that. I think that citizens, constituents, people that live in the communities need to demand that their police leadership reflects what they want, which brings me to the next point, is that you have a statistic about people that oppose the defund the police movement. Now, I will say before you give us this alarming statistic that as a fugitive apprehension guy in the private sector of law enforcement apprehending the most violent wanted offenders, I worked in a lot of predominantly black and brown minority communities, specifically on the north side of Minneapolis, on the east side of St. Paul. We had this defund conversation with black folks almost daily since this thing has come up. And you ask them on the street, what do you think of this defund the police movement? Are you kidding me? Why would I want the police to go away? I just lost a brother to gunfire. I just lost a cousin to a murder. I just lost a sister to a drive-by. I want police on every single street corner all day, every day, with marked cruisers and guns all over the place to protect. There's a genocide going on in the black and brown communities that these liberal leftists don't want to acknowledge. It doesn't fit the narrative.
No, you're absolutely right. In fact, there was Baltimore, of course, which is, you know, has one of the highest violent crime rates in the country. has seen, you know, just a massive increase in the homicides and shootings. Well, the predominantly Black community has been screaming at the police, asking them to do their jobs and to be present and to, and you know what they have been met with? They've been met with silence from the police hierarchy, who has denied them the protections that they're asking for. People who are being victimized want the police there. And this statistic is really interesting. 82% of the people do not support defund the police movement. 82%. Now, I would have hoped it would have been 92%, but 82% is still a pretty high amount. And that goes across the board in communities of color, in all communities. They may vary just a touch. But the reality is that, you know, when I hear this incredibly irrational narrative about institutionalized racist policing, it makes me cringe, because I know the reality. I have seen for years that the only people really willing to step up and put their lives on the line for their communities, whether they be Black, brown, white, it doesn't matter, are this nation's police.
Yeah, absolutely. 82%. You know what that tells me? That tells me that 18% of people that were polled are criminals. That's all there is to it. Criminals don't like the police, and police presence deters crime. Randy Sutton, founder of thewoundedblue.org. If you want to contribute to The Wounded Blue, make sure that you get over there. Also the host of an amazing radio show, and you can find Randy Sutton all over social media. Just look for him. We'll put the links in the description here. Stu Peters coming back with more of the powerful conversation as Patriotically Correct Radio continues in just 60 seconds. Go nowhere.
Get to know them. Grow to love them. Love to hate them. Stewie and Richie. PC Radio.
Yes, Patriotically Correct is on. Mojo 50 is the station. iHeartRadio. Make sure that you tune in Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern. If you miss it, don't worry. Don't trip. Don't be upset. Don't go flip out. Don't kill anybody. Don't kneel on anybody's neck or anything like that. Because you can catch up to us. Rumble, YouTube, the exploding channels, also Twitter, Telegram, Parler, Facebook, whatever platform you can still stomach. In the land of the communists. Joining us now, speaking of communism, the communist himself, the racist, the bigot, the insensitive prick, Patrick Howley from National File, the senior reporter over there. Was that good? I mean, is that a good intro for you? Is that pretty accurate? Does that hit the nail right on the head, or how are we doing?
Hey, Stu, how are you? So, in fact, America is dividing, and the politicians are cynically dividing us. I don't know if you've noticed this. You know, the latest in the George Floyd trial, by the way, and Derek Chauvin has been charged again with third-degree murder. That charge has been reinstated, which will give the jury more options about how to convict this guy amid the political melee as jury selection continues. Of course, the murder rate in America soared after George Floyd's death in 2020. The judge has ruled that the prosecution cannot compare George Floyd's death to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, even though they're kind of similar in the sense that both of them rose from the dead, albeit George Floyd rose in hologram form. The George Floyd hologram was not available for comment. Of course, the toxicology report showed that George Floyd had a lethal amount of fentanyl in his system, and video showed that he started screaming, "I can't breathe," while he was standing up and did not have a knee on his neck and was breathing just fine. But Joe Biden and the Joe Biden administration seem determined to try to capitalize on this moment and let no good crisis go to waste and racially divide America, which is, of course, part of their agenda to divide and conquer. Joe Biden signed his new voting executive order to celebrate the anniversary of the Selma marches. Likewise, Biden White House senior advisor Cedric Richmond said that the reparations are likely to go forward as Congress debates doing a study on the impact of reparations. Cedric Richmond told Axios, "We don't want to wait on a study. We're going to start acting now." Richmond brought up the idea of free college for Black people as a way to begin the process of reparations. Meanwhile, farmers across America are complaining about the fact that the COVID relief bill includes $1 billion for farming racial justice and also $4 billion to pay off more than 100% of the debt of farmers of color, Black farmers, Hispanic, Native American, but of course not white farmers. So it seems that the Biden administration is determined to try to pit Black people against white people, even more so than we've already been pitted against each other in recent months and over the last year of anarchy and chaos and suspicion. And they do not seem to want to bring America together. Of course, Joe Biden himself has a very archaic view of race relations. In fact, he doesn't even believe that Black people are capable of logging onto the internet.
The other portion is a lot of people don't know how to register. Not everybody in the community, in the Hispanic and the African-American community, particularly in rural areas that are distant and or inner city districts, know how to get online to determine how to get in line for that COVID vaccination.
Yeah, if you're Black and you're not in line for the vaccination, it must be because you're too stupid to log into the internet.
According to Joe Biden, of course, who doesn't know where he is. I don't think Joe Biden knows how to log on to the internet, frankly, but Joe Biden feels that Black people do not know how to log on to the internet. Of course, Kamala Harris, who is descended from a white slave owner from Jamaica on one side and also a high caste Brahmin Indian family on the other side, her uncle being India's top nuclear weapons expert, Uncle Gopalan, she has sort of adopted the mantle of being the freedom fighter for racial justice. And, you know, I'm reminded of something she said at the Democrat convention, that there is no vaccine against racism.
And let's be clear, there is no vaccine for racism. We've got to do the work for George Floyd, for Breonna Taylor, for the lives of too many others to name, for our children, and for all of us.
Yeah. Boy, I tell you, she, the dialect even, you know, I saw this with Obama as well when he's speaking at, you know, HBCUs or predominantly Black crowds that he's pandering to. They really throw on the dialect there of the typical stereotypical African-American, obviously indicating their own racism. And I agree that we should do this in the name of murderous, home invading, pornographic filmmaking thugs, career criminals like George Floyd, and of course, drug distributing, manufacturing people like Breonna Taylor or anybody else who chooses to resist the police and ends up with the misfortune of death or maybe paralysis. We can go to another case maybe in Kenosha, Wisconsin on that.
Of course, and we're reminded of Barack Obama's fictional character in his mythology, Uncle Pookie, who he often trots out to try to appeal to the Black community. Unclear what Uncle Pookie thinks about the Derek Chauvin trial in Minnesota. But, you know, this is a big problem with the administration, that the progressives seek to divide people by race. Biden even saying that he would help every type of small business and then names off every group of small business owner except for white men, of course. So, you know, as white people, frankly, begin to realize that they're getting cut out of all of these Biden administration programs, I think that, you know, you're going to see racial awareness become more on the forefront of people's minds instead of less on people's minds. And I think that is a strategy by the progressive elites to divide and conquer. And I think that's a sad thing for America.
It's a definitely sad thing for America, especially for my couple of uncles that are farmers. I feel really bad for them. I mean, they were born white, so everything should have been handed to them already automatically. Great reporting again, once again. Patrick Howley, you can find him at nationalfile.com, the daily intel brief found here on PC Radio every single day as the powerful conversation continues daily and will continue in just 60 seconds after we pay some bills. We'll be right back. My name is Stu Peters. Go nowhere.
Broadcasting live from the highest cloud of privileged patriotism. The PC Radio Show is on Mojo 5-0 Radio.
We have spotlighted racism on this program multiple times.
Everything is racist. It's all racist. I'm a bigoted racist. I'm a narcissistic a-hole. But who gets a pass? Elected representatives. The most racist of them all. Tim Jong Walls, for example, the governor here in the state of Minnesota, actually approved a book to be used in school districts across the state of Minnesota, an audio video book that teaches and indoctrinates children that all cops are racist murderers. Here in Minnesota is not the only place that this false narrative is continuing and being used for indoctrination of our youth and those who are responsible for their education. You may not know that this is going on in Virginia Beach. This is running rampant. Right now joining us is Vicky Manning. She spends her fifth year this year on the school board there. By the way, thank you very much for being on the school board. I think it's one of the most patriotic things that you can do is to be responsible for making decisions that educate the future of this country, the future of our republic, because this is who we're going to hand them off to. I know that it's a very selfless and not a very appreciated position, and so I want to thank you for your time and thank you for being here as well today.
Thank you so much, Stu. I appreciate it. And as Colonel Alan West has said, being on the school board is the most important position, political elected position there is. So thank you for recognizing that.
Of course. What is going on in Virginia Beach? I've seen some of the news articles that have been over the last few days becoming public. Are people paying attention to this? What's going on?
You know, so I think a lot of people are not aware of what's going on, and I want to make sure that they are aware, and I want to bring it to their attention. And I just felt like it was time for me to speak up. I was contacted a couple of weeks ago by a teacher who was required to attend some training in our division. It was a large group of elementary school teachers that had to take the training. And as part of the training, teachers were told, of course you're racist, and you better lean into your discomfort. And in addition to that, they said you should acknowledge how your appearance might place you in a privileged position, and also talk about racial issues such as police brutality with students and families.
Of course you should, yes. And I think that kindergartners ought to really know about that. This is not being made up, folks. Watch.
One of the most freeing things that white people can do, or actually any human being on the planet could do right now, is to just say, of course I'm racist. Of course I'm racist. If you grew up in a house that spoke French and you, as a baby, just started laying in your crib, listening to people speak French over you, you wouldn't have to do anything to start gaining proficiency in the French language. You would just speak it because that's what's being spoken around you. Our society speaks racism. It has spoken racism since we were born.
Vicky? I don't know about you. I grew up in a house with two white parents. I'll never apologize for my whiteness. I'm the most anti-racist, non-racist person that you could probably ever talk to. But I am supposed to go now and admit, look at myself in the mirror and just free myself from this burden by telling myself repeatedly, of course I'm racist. This is what's being taught to our educators who are then in turn spending the majority of the day, more time than most parents spend with their children, indoctrinating and then basically transcribing this into these young, impressionable minds and ears.
Absolutely. And some of the teachers, you know, many of these teachers don't want to be put through this training, and they're considering leaving the profession. We don't need more teachers to leave the profession right now. But some of these teachers are taking this to heart, and they are teaching it to our students. I actually just got an email from a parent today thanking me for bringing this to the attention of the public. And she said, last month, my daughter's kindergarten class had virtual lessons that left my husband and me furious. At the end, my daughter came to me and said, Mommy, I'm white, but I'm not mean. And that just breaks my heart that this is what our kids are being taught. They are being taught that because they have white skin, they are the oppressor. And Black students are being taught that they're the oppressed. I mean, this is just terrible, divisive rhetoric that needs to stop, and our public needs to be aware that it's happening.
Yeah. There was an e-petition that we were sent here that's going around in Virginia Beach, and you're supposed to sign this e-petition to stop critical race theory and social justice indoctrination in Virginia Beach schools and Virginia. Now, this seems to me like it sounds like a good idea. Is there a good response to this?
It just came out, I believe, a day or so ago. Last time I checked, I think it had about 600 signatures. But the No Left Turn in Education organization has recently formed here in Virginia, and they're leading the effort on that. And the petition itself has links to all of the things that are going on here in our city. This is also a statewide issue. Nationwide, as you said, it's even up there in your area, Stu.
Yeah.
So people need to stand up and speak up. You're going to be called a racist. I've been called a racist more times than I can count. And it's interesting because my grandmother was Native American. I didn't inherit her skin color, but I'm looked at just because of my skin color. I'm considered white and privileged, even though I came from a low socioeconomic background. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be the voice for those kids who can't speak up, and I'm going to shout it from the rooftops what's going on here, this racism that is going on here in our school district.
I'm looking at another news article that came out today talking about, she said it's been very frustrating to hear speaker after speaker at school board meetings, a largely white crowd, push for in-person learning, arguing it will most help the kids who are in the wrong end of the achievement gap. So basically what this is saying is that white kids will be the only ones then that benefit from returning to in-person education. Am I reading that right?
So this comment was made by one of my colleagues on the school board, an elected representative on the school board. And so she's insinuating, and she has been completely against kids going back to school in-person learning. In Virginia Beach, you have a choice. You can go back for in-person or you can remain virtual. And a larger percentage of white students have made that choice than black students. So since she believes it will widen the achievement gap, she doesn't even want white students to go because they might get a benefit from it.
Oh, okay. So if white kids do then return, they will be far more and above the education level of non-white students who choose not to go. The COVID virus, by the way, only targets minorities. You and I, because of our whiteness, automatically have immunity to the world-ending plague, whereas less fortunate black kids are certain, they're certain to die as a result of this. I got it. And then what about this? I mean, I hate to talk facts here, Vicky, but could it be possible that any kid that returns to school may increase their education at a rate that's higher than those who choose not to return to school?
Exactly. And part of the problem, I think, of why more of our black students are not returning to school is because there's been so much fear-mongering going on our school board about how dangerous this virus is. And if kids return to school, everybody's going to die.
Yeah.
So that has been what our school board has been putting out to the public. And unfortunately, there are families who are listening to these school board members.
What do you think is the real
our students?
Let's just get to the bottom of this. Let's get to brass tacks and cut through all the BS. What is the real reason that these school board members do not want in-person learning to resume?
You know, probably because the teachers' union doesn't want it.
Right.
Quite frankly. We have quite a few members on our school board who are also members of the local teachers union. And, you know, the teachers union comes out and they place fear. They instill fear into the public, into the teachers, into the employees. And that's who's being listened to right now. This is political.
Yeah. And we're seeing stories from all over the country where teachers are really enjoying this time off. I mean, they're enjoying themselves in Mazatlan, Cabo San Lucas, pictures of the nice beaches in Florida while they're receiving payment to teach. Listen, since the pandemic started and since I have been able to wear all the hats, hockey coach, baseball coach, parent, teacher, I have a whole newfound respect for educators. There are some very good educators out there that deserve a lot more pay than what they receive already. But these ones here, the ones that we're talking about, Vicky, in my opinion, they have to go. We've got to weed these people out. And I hope that people pay attention. How can people get in touch with your school board, specifically those in Virginia Beach that had no idea this was going on, so that they can voice their opinions?
So they can just Google Virginia Beach School Board, and it will take you to a list of all the school board members and their email contacts. My personal website is manningvbsb.com, as in Virginia Beach School Board, manningvbsb.com, if someone wants to reach out to me.
All right. And we'll get it up there. Vicki Manning, thank you so much for your service to our kids, to our youth, to the future of this republic. And Mr. West was absolutely correct. Unbelievable.
Thank you.
Get involved, people. Pay attention to what is going on in your kids' school. There's just so many things going on that you might have no idea. Attend these meetings and get involved. The powerful conversation continues with PC Radio next as we continue in just 60 seconds. Go nowhere. Before we go today, I want to make sure to remind you and let you know that if you have a story, something that's breaking at your kid's school district, something that's breaking in your neighborhood, maybe something that's not getting out there into the mainstream media, weird, I know, that anybody would ignore facts and real stories, make sure to visit redvoicemedia.com and send me an email, all right? A lot of these stories come from there, and I'm telling you, I will never ignore a real story or a credible whistleblower. Also want to thank our sponsors over at Cortez Wealth Management and Verve Forever. You both have made a tremendous difference in our lives, and that's why we broadcast your message to millions of people all over the world, internationally and globally. If you have a product or a service that you want to advertise, hit us up at redvoicemedia.com and send me an email. Until tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern, here's what's up to it. Here's what's down to it. Here's to any way you can get to it. Here's to those that don't do it, maybe be dragged to it, tied to it, or forced to it. And here's to us who do it, because we're the ones that's used to it. Remember to fly low and avoid that radar. One day they're going to come for the car, and when they do, save the radio!